On today's episode, the Cubs continue their run of success. We catch up on some news and notes, including some updates on two Cubs infielders, plus a certain stat for review. That's all ahead on this Monday edition of Locked On Cubs.
Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Cubs. Alongside Sam Olber, I'm Matt Cozy. Pleased to be with you for a Monday episode as we begin another week of the MLB season. Only two more of these left on the slate, Sam, as the Cubs win 3 out of 4 against the Pirates. We're going to recap that from a few different angles. And how was your weekend? And looking forward to speaking here.
First of all, I'd like to wish the Jewish population that listens to our show a Happy New Year. Because they'll be playing this on Monday. You know, Matt, it's very rare, maybe twice a year, the Cubs and Bears both are victorious on the same day. And for one certain reason, and I use the number one as a key point, I'm not thrilled. It also, like you mentioned, off the air, feels very much like fall this Sunday evening at 7:03.
Very.
Which I don't particularly love. It's got a weird element to it, but things are good. The more I watch the Bears and the White Sox, the better I feel about our baseball team, and that's the Chicago Cubs, who had a 5-2 week. I don't really – right now, if you were to give me three guesses every day to pick the exact lineup, I wouldn't even come close. And we're finding ways to win games, and we're seeing good things. And, you know, as it pertains to this show, it's all good.
Yeah, the Cubs had a dud on Saturday, but otherwise, you know, we talked about that Thursday win. They won a close game on Friday, and then they really cruised on Sunday at PNC Park over there in Western PA. You know, we're going to talk about the starting pitching this week. We're going to go over a few different things. But really, they're taking advantage of this part of the schedule and continuing their really nice second half run.
Yeah, and it's something that I've briefly discussed on this show that, you know, when we look ahead to next year, I mean, you don't know what teams look like and things like that. But, you know, you never want to – if you're a team going into the year and you don't know if you're going to be good, and I know people at home are saying, well, you never know. No. What I mean is this year it would have been a surprise to most people if the Cubs were playing meaningful baseball at this time. And a lot of things have to go your way when you're not that talented. Mm-hmm. And one of those things that has to go your way is you have to play teams at the right time. And the Cubs right now are showing you that when the schedule eases up, they've taken a couple series from the Marlins. They beat up a little bit here on Pittsburgh. They finished the year with 6 straight games against you know, those chili eaters in Cincinnati. And they're all meaningless games. It would have been interesting to see if they, instead of having that one gauntlet earlier in the year where they had to play 4 against the Dodgers and 3 against the Brewers and yada, yada, you know, maybe they would have been able to add some more wins. Does it matter in the long term? No. But it's just something to keep an eye out for next year, because I do think next year, we've talked about, the Cubs are going to be one of those fringe teams, right? I think they're going to, if things go well, they're going to have a chance to compete, and hopefully they play teams at the right time, because it's, you know, we're just throwing – wins right now for no reason. They're probably going to get, you know, to 70-72 wins.
Yeah, after Sunday's ball game, the Cubs have actually, like most teams, they have an off day on Monday, and they have 9
Much
games
needed.
Remaining. They have 3 with the Phillies, and then I laugh because it's comical to me. Right. 6 with the Reds, first at home, and then
I want to see
on the road.
So, and you said they have 9 games left?
That's it.
Yeah, so they have 67 wins. They're probably going to win 5 of these 9. They're going to end up with 72 wins. I think their initial over-under was 73.5.
Wow, so Vegas got it right.
Yeah, Vegas got it absolutely right. Very interesting how these things play out. And it's just interesting because for most Cub fans, the season's probably been over since the deadline, right? You know. And it's, I mean, even before that, but the deadline was really when people were like, okay, now we know who's on the team, who's not. And, you know, they still got to play the games in September. Those games count.
Well, that's why the second half has actually been quite impressive in my mind, and why I've enjoyed a lot of these games, because after Sunday's victory, they're 32-29 in the second half.
Which is really, yeah, right. You're right.
They played good teams out of the second half gate. Lately, it's been softer, but they actually did play good teams, especially
Philadelphia.
In July.
They swept Philadelphia. And that 32-29 record, Mateo, is supported by one of the best starting pitching staffs in baseball in the second half.
Yeah, I would like to definitely expand on that this week.
They have one of the best ERAs. Yeah, I think they're like third or fourth.
That's true.
In the end, whatever it is. I mean, Steele pitched like Koufax in the second half. You know, when we break down this series, I mean, Adrian Sampson, at what point do you give the guy – at what point does Sampson deserve some sort of free meal at Chicago Cut or something? I mean, the guy
– we could do that.
The guy pitches six innings every outing and gives up one run every outing. I mean, is the guy a massive part of this future? No. But, you know, one thing that we're all guilty of doing, right, because – we all want to win championships and compete for championships. And when you're not doing that, then what does it matter? But like these innings, somebody's got to pitch, right? Somebody's got to keep you from being embarrassing. And this guy has come out here since they've called him up, and all he's done is be a consummate pro. And I really hope whether it's with the Cubs or with a different organization, he gets a shot to be an opening day in a big league rotation, because he's, you know, give that guy a lot of credit.
At one point, he had 19 pitches through three innings today.
I mean, he's just been awesome. I mean, and by the way, during the stretch, he beat DeGrom.
Yep.
And he beat another really good pitcher, Alcantara,
we
maybe?
We went over it last Sunday, I'm having a brain freeze.
I mean, this guy's been awesome, and God bless him.
I think it was Burns, Rodon, and DeGrom or something.
Yeah, something like that. That's what it was. I'm pulling up his ERA on the camp. The guy's got a 3.23 ERA.
Well, here's the thing about
Thompson comes in, piggybacks again, looks sharp.
Here's this thing about the second half record too. As we've noted, it wasn't a good roster to begin with. You had injuries to key players, and then you had an exodus of the bullpen at the deadline.
You know, so it's funny you mentioned that, Matt, because I was just thinking before we got on the show, you know what it shows you? And again, you have to take it with a grain of salt, because these were not meaningful games. It's a lot different when pressure's on and people are watching.
Sure.
But it just shows you that how random the bullpen is. You get rid of Efros. You get rid of Givens. You get rid of Robertson. You get rid of Chris Martin, who, by the way, has been absolutely outstanding for the Dodgers. Mm. And you replace them with nothing, and you go on a stretch where you're 32-29 or something along those lines since you traded those guys. It just shows you that the bullpen is such an arbitrary part of the game. You can't win when you have a bad bullpen. And if they start next year and everything looks great and they blow the first three of the first five games out of the bullpen, I'm going to be screaming and crying. But I think it's just the hardest thing in baseball to predict. I mean, we close games, and part of it though, Matt, is because the pressure's low. So it's like, okay, Jared Hughes, that's an old reliever for the Pirates. Brandon Hughes comes in in a one run game or whatever, and it's September. It's like, whatever, we'll see what happens. If he does that and it's opening day, you're facing Milwaukee, it's 3-2, bottom nine, nobody on, nobody out. I'm gonna, you know, my hands are gonna be shaking, and so are his. But there is a little bit of a randomness element to it where it's like,
there is.
Kind of shows you, hey, you can win games without these studs in the bullpen.
So one last note here, because the 32-29 record over a 162 game slate translates to about 85-86 wins.
Right, which is probably where they're going to be next year, right around there.
It's exciting.
Yeah, okay. I would use a different adjective. Is exciting a verb?
No.
Excited is a verb.
Well, to be excited, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it's exciting? What's that grammatical term?
I believe it's an adjective.
Okay.
It's a description.
I would say...
Sam, verb is an action word.
Yeah, yeah. I would say it's
Don't
cool.
Don't say intriguing for the love of...
I wasn't going to say that. I would say it's pretty cool.
It's cool.
Yeah, I don't think it's exciting.
You know why it's cool? Because they're close to competing.
What am I excited that they're 32-29 since a break? I didn't know that until an hour ago. It's cool. That's yeah. Right. I'm excited about March 30th of 2023 when those cheese pickers stop at the Brat Stop and then come into Wrigley Field. Corbin Burns gets rocked on opening day. That's exciting.
That is exciting, and that's good. We're gonna
excited for the offseason.
We're gonna get more into Cubs Pirates coming up next. But first, these days, every new potential hire can feel like a high stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. And this time of the year, you can add your job to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. They also have simple tools like screening questions that make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience, so you could quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnMLB. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
LinkedIn's a great site. I got to change my profile picture on there. My headline picture, it's not a good look for me. I've had fantastic success with LinkedIn and another one of our great partners, Built Bar, Matthew.
What about them?
They sent, I don't know if you got it, but I got my package today. I got raspberry, coconut, and cookies and cream. I've only tried the raspberry so far, and may I say it was outstanding.
Yeah, I will be reporting my first reviews on Tuesday's show, as I have I did get the box as well over the weekend.
Really good.
And I'm excited to try that. So yeah, the first reviews are in from Sam and it's positive.
Yeah.
So we're very excited.
Wish I could say the same about the guy under center at the lakefront, but that's neither here nor there.
Hopefully people are playing bingo here.
I'm starting to get some favorites on Twitter or likes on Twitter from
Bears content.
No, from your people.
Really?
Like some people you coach with or teach with, and I like it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, they like you a lot.
Well, I hope so.
They want to meet you soon.
Well, I like to meet them. All I do is talk over and annoy their colleague.
Okay. We already talked about Adrian Sampson, who went six innings on Sunday, but how about Keegan Thompson? Two more scoreless innings out of the bullpen. This guy looks like an absolute weapon out there. They have the laundry list of potential tweeners. My guess would be Thompson throws two or three more times, probably in that same role, right?
Let's power rank the tweeners going into next year.
Oh my gosh!
I'll lay it up for you. I'll lay it up for you. Let's do it. Not in any order. Here are the guys we're going to be ranking. Okay, let's throw Wisniewski in there, even though
there's
a good chance he'd be a starter.
I would throw him in.
And no, Matt, I'm not putting in Assad. Okay,
no,
Wisniewski, Alzolay, Thompson, Leiter Jr.,
and Sampson five.
I feel like Sampson's more of a starter or not guy.
Okay.
But okay, we can put him in. Put him in. That's fine.
I think we should put him in. Yeah.
For me, I think Thompson's the number one guy as a tweener. Now, I think Wisniewski's more likely to be a starter. I still just think Alzolay has so much work to do figuring out left-handers. Alzolay's got the most electric stuff. I still think Alzolay has a chance to be like a late inning, one inning reliever. So yep. I would rate Thompson number one as the best tweener. Then I'd probably go Wisniewski. Then I'd probably go Leiter Jr. Then Alzolay, because I still think he's more meant for one inning and a lot of righties. And then I don't think that's a role for Sampson, so I'll put him fifth. How about you?
I'm going to go Thompson number one. I think it's a clear number one.
Yeah, man, he's so much better in that spot. And just to clarify to our listeners, we're not ranking who's the best pitcher. We're ranking who's the best fit for this 2-3-inning piggyback role.
I'm going to go Thompson one.
Yeah.
Leiter Jr. two.
Yeah, I've convinced you on him, haven't
okay.
I?
Yeah. He's not a one inning guy at all.
Kind of looks like Roger Clemens coming out of the bullpen, doesn't he? No, I'm joking.
You get some length out of him.
Great. Here's Collinsworth and Mike Tirico doing the Sunday night game. What happened to Al Michael?
He went to Amazon.
Oh, does he call those Thursday night games?
Yeah, him and Kirk Herbstreit.
I'm getting off topic.
Sorry. So Thompson, Leiter, Alzolay.
Yeah, I don't know what it's like. I don't know how to pronounce
it. Sampson, Wisniewski.
So you're, because you want Wisniewski to be in the starting rotation.
I do.
Yeah, and that's fair.
And he's going to fit. He's going to fit real well behind Hendricks, a revitalized Hendricks.
We'll have some. And by the way, we're going to have some episodes on Hendricks, and we're also going to do an episode. I read about this story today, and I was going to ask you if we could talk about it on the show, but I know your answer would probably be, "Hey, we have so much time in the offseason." We will have a full episode dedicated to the Cubs core and evaluating their season.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. No, I wrote that down today, actually.
Yeah, I think there's some really interesting stuff there. Even some potential buy low candidates.
Whoa, I haven't heard that yet.
Yeah, that's interesting. Hey, no more Iowa shirts on the show. Go ahead.
So Nico Horner returned on Sunday in the Cubs' victory over the Pirates. Good to see him, Sam. He did not play defensively. He did DH, but it's good to see him for these final nine games.
It's just good to see him finish the year healthy. It doesn't look like that we're going to have the same fate with Suzuki. I'd like to see him. There's some things, too, I'll be watching this next week with Horner's swing. Because, I think before he got injured, and I watched his swings a little bit today, his swing looks a little, jaggedy. I don't know. It just doesn't look as sharp. So I'll be watching that. Be awesome to see him get hot and find a way to hit 300. Because we haven't had a guy hit 300 in a long time.
Well, I think he's just a little bit slower through the zone right now.
Yeah,
it would be great to be in the 290s at least.
Even before he got hurt, though, he wasn't hitting the ball as well as
solid. So,
yeah, I'd like to see him finish the year strong. And I still think, him and, he's been one of the two biggest bright spots of the season.
And finally, the last part to unpack from this series, Sam, Patrick Wisdom hit 3 home runs this week, now has 25 on the season.
What is that? 53 as a Cub?
Yes.
He's 28 last year.
His contract auto renews for 2023. He's not arbitration eligible yet. So he would still be, aside from maybe the Cubs bumping him up a little bit on a minimum salary deal. Good to see him have a nice week. And I know we've evaluated his potential value to a Cubs team in 2023. Yeah. I think it's actually one of the most difficult things to do for any positional player. But he's at the very least a playable guy that offers power.
I think he has 53 home runs now in 235 games as a Cub. So that's about a season and a half. So he's, he's pretty much been a 30 home run pace guy.
Yes.
Maybe even a little more than that. His 162 game average over his career is actually 33 home runs. They need power. They need somebody to play third. His third base defense greatly regressed as the season proceeded and went on. He is a part of a long list of guys that I don't know what the Cubs are going to do with.
Right.
It just depends what they prioritize. Do they prioritize getting Correa and then moving Horner to second, so then there's a spot open at third, or do they put a guy like that at third and then Wisdom doesn't have a spot? It sounds like, and we'll talk about this later in the week, that Ross likes Mervis at first base, so there's probably not a spot for Wisdom at first. There's a lot of questions. He's cheap. He could hit 30 home runs if he stays healthy. Can you stick him at the bottom of the order? I don't know. It'll be very interesting to see what the future holds for Patrick Wisdom in a Cub uniform. I think it's a total coin flip.
To a similar theme that we've gone through throughout the show, I'm going to reveal a specific stat about the Cubs' record with specific deficits in games as we wrap up right after this. All right, we're back here on Locked On Cubs, your first listen every day. Thanks for being with us for a Monday episode. The Cubs, Sam, have had 85 games decided by 2 runs or less, which is the most
in baseball.
Major League Baseball.
Most in baseball.
The Cubs own a 39-46 record in those games.
Not terrible.
And in one run only games, they've played 50 of those, which is third most.
And their record in that? Or do you not have that?
I don't have it.
Okay.
But 86 is it's so many.
Yeah, and it's not really a bad or a good thing.
It's more of a middle ground.
Yeah, I think early in the year, they had some really bad luck with some one-run games.
Right.
They just did. There's the balls going. And I remember a particular game against the Sox at Wrigley Field that you would, with lineouts and this.
Oh, was that the game in the rain?
No, I think it was the game after. I think it was Lucas Giolito v. Hendricks, I believe, was the matchup. And Nico Horner took Giolito deep that night. And so did actually Wisdom hit a homer, speaking of. I just think that they have to manage better. They have to do the little things better early next year. And I say early because the fans aren't going to have patience. You're gonna have to get off to a good start to get the good vibes going,
right?
And you got a base run better. The bullpen, of course, early in one run games will be key. And managerial decisions and when to pull guys and when to use these piggyback situations. At 39-46 could very easily be 46-39.
Totally.
You just have to do a little bit better of a job in certain areas. And when you're not a team like the Dodgers or the Mets or the Astros or whoever you are, most of the time you're going to look at that one run record. You're going to look at that record in two run games, and wherever that is right about where you're going to fall. Mm-hmm. So the Cubs have to improve in that area.
I feel with one and two run games, the top part of the list is managing and the bullpen. And I actually think that is fair.
And situational hitting too.
Yeah. But I think those aren't reaches. I think it's definitely valid. I do wonder if you look back at the opponents in let's just say April, for example, those 25 games or whatever it was, what percentage of the one and two run games happened that early and against what opposition?
Right.
Because that's going to be something that if you add a couple stars, if you add or improve around the margins, I believe that's going to just organically get better.
And I
know it's easy to say, but I really believe it.
I agree with you. And you coach the game. I don't. So I'll go to you. I'll defer to you in that situation. Here's a fun one, Matt. If I told you April 27th or May 6th that we would finish the year, we'd be doing a show in mid-September and we'd have the same record as the Angels. You'd feel pretty good about that, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, well, too bad they completely fell off, huh?
Yeah, they had a lot of hype.
We're the same record, 67-86, 19 under.
That's pretty wild. That's pretty wild. Hey, you know who else won by one score today? That was the Bears.
Yeah.
Who defeated the Texans.
And I will say,
20.
You got to give me credit, folks. I'm 2-0 on bets. Bet online. I got
where the
Bears.
Game starts.
I got the Bears at 2.5 on Wednesday. I said if you can get them at 2.5, take them.
Wow, really?
I'm not proud of it.
And a lot of chatter after this ball game about Justin Fields. Is he the quarterback moving forward? 312-834-4634.
Hey, we talked about this before the show. What he's supposed to say is he any good? Leave us a voicemail.
Oh, okay. I may have forgotten the line.
That's what you're supposed to do, because now people might actually come. It might be a Bear show. We might steal some listeners.
Whoops.
And the answer is not great. Bears open up a little odd at +2.5 at New York, kind of a trap line. I'd wait for that thing to hop up to 3 if you want to take a stab at that. And real quick, Matt, we play the Phillies this week.
Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
And do we have any lines on those ball games?
I don't believe so. Yeah, we're going to get to those on Tuesday's show.
Okay.
Including the pitching matchups.
Because I like to see Stroman shove against Philadelphia.
Oh, it'd be great. The city of brotherly love.
And, if Harper's, standing a little close to the plate,
All right, easy, Big Ram.
All right, sorry.
Be sure to hit that subscribe button for Locked On Cubs.
The big series for Philly, by the way.
And smash the like button on all your favorite Locked On Cubs content, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your pods.
Jeez.
And remember, you can drop us a text 312-834-4634. Thanks for making Locked On Cubs your first listen every day. How about your second? Locked On MLB and the Game to Game podcast, as MLB is indeed in the stretch run. There's still a lot of races going on, especially for both wild cards. It is three important games for the Phillies this week at the friendly confines. For Sam Olber, I'm Matt Cozy. This is Locked On Cubs.